All the Christmas services went very well, the Christingle and the carol service and the angel trails and stuff like that. So well done, everybody. And I think a lot of people enjoyed it. On small notice, you'll need a pencil and paper today.
Fine.
If you've got one close by, could you grab it? Doesn't need to be a big bit of paper, but it needs to be right on it. Now, in preparation for today's service, I went to my go-to book, which is Jane Williams' Reflections, because it's 2 pages, and that's about all my brain can cope with sometimes.
Yes, I know
But
that.
before we sing, Come Now Is the Time to Worship, I just wanted to read a little extract from that book because it set the tone for the service for today. Come, the sun calls, come and enjoy the love of God as I do. Come and express the generosity of God as I do. Come and display the glory of God as I do. Come and be children of God, at home in God, and resembling Him in every way. So we now sing, Come, now is the time to worship. And our prayer for today, the second Sunday after Christmas and leading into Epiphany. Dear Lord and Father, Creator God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as the body of Christ, sharing you with others throughout this world, the world you made for us and where you've placed each one of us. Help us to understand more of you and to learn from your word. Let us always rejoice in the love you show us, the joy you give us, the hope we have in you, and the peace you grant us. Amen. And that time when we now prepare ourselves for meeting with Christ. We have to get right with Christ first. And that means confessing our sins. And when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, and in a moment of silence, let us confess our own sins. We now corporately move to confess our sins to God. Heavenly Father, you have created a universe of light. Forgive us when we return to darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Cleanse and heal our blinded sight. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, you give us light in our hearts. Renew us in faith and love. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
And we're now going to sing again that well-known hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, forgive our foolish ways. That always makes me smile.
Thank you.
Now, this is where you need your paper and pencils. You need to write down the readings, not just John 1, 1 to 18, but the Jeremiah reading and the Ephesians reading. Because what I recommend you do is to read these each day during the week until they become part of you and until they start to speak to you individually. So there you go. No such thing as a free service. You got your homework set. Now, Pauline was going to read to us, but Pauline's internet is not reliable, despite us praying for it this morning. So I'm going to ask Libby now to read the gospel reading to us. Thank you, Libby.
Thank you, Jackie. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in him, in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Libby. This is where I take my glasses off because I can't bear to see myself. If you don't want to watch me either, you can turn your screen around or something, I don't know. Anyway, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we're here together. Lord Jesus, we give us our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and our emotions as we turn to you as our God and as our Saviour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's that time of year, isn't it, when we look back on the previous year and we wonder what lies in front of us for the next year. I'm not going to go into any huge detail on last year. We know all about it, or what the media chooses to tell us. We just have to trust in God that next year will be different. I can do no more than that. But sometimes, beginning of a new year, we think about rebasing ourselves, having a clear out. And going back to what I was saying a couple of weeks ago, I think we need to recenter ourselves on Christ, on Jesus. Take away ourselves, take away what we want, and look to Christ. We do tend to complicate things, and you know, our faiths sometimes get so complicated. But the reading from John's Gospel goes right back to the beginning, goes right back to creation, goes right back to Genesis, and actually before then, because there was a point in time where the only thing in existence was God. God is love. And that's all that existed. God, being God, wanted to share his love with us, not impose it on us, not a conditional love. But he wanted to share it. That's why he created the earth. That's why he sent Christ. So John's Gospel goes back to Genesis, but it sees it through a different lens. It sees it through the lens of Jesus. It sees it through the lens of Christ and all that he meant to us. Because Christ is that way of God's sharing his love for us. It's incredible, isn't it? We are not an experiment for God. He didn't just sort of wake up one day and thought, I'm going to have a bit of fun with these mankind people that I invented before time. And we're going to have we'll have a time together. It's not that at all. It's the very nature of God that he needed to share his love with us. And that amazing love in his son. And it mentions, doesn't it, the next section of John's Gospel about where John the Baptist came. Do you notice those words? Testify and witness to Christ. And I go back to 2 weeks ago, and this has really stayed with me. And I recommended that you look at your testimony. I'm now going to share you part of my testimony. You may have heard it before. You're going to hear it again. I love listening to people's testimonies because through people's testimonies, you can see and feel and understand the love of God that people have for Christ and how Christ has that love for them when he brings them in to him. And it's when people turn to God that their situation changes. That's why I want you to read Jeremiah. In the Jeremiah passage, it's God's people returning to him. And they return from their isolation, their terror, their poverty, their sickness. Those are words that we have become very much accustomed to. And when they turn to God, he promises to be their father. He promises to protect them. He promises to provide for them. It's no different for us today. So we're here on this earth that God created for us, to share in that love, to testify to Christ, and to be a witness to Christ. Right, story time. I was born into a mixed marriage. My mother was a Methodist and my father was a C of E. No big shakes there. I went to Methodist Sunday school. And all I can really remember is it being very smelly and musty. I think the kids were hived off to a back room somewhere full of damp. Don't remember much about Jesus at all. Went to Brownies and Guides. That was in the Methodist church. Sang in the Church of England choir. Probably because I fancied the vicar's son. No other reason than that. Then I had a good education. Left school. Went and got a job, qualified as a chartered surveyor, very unusual for women in those days. Got to 30, and the whole thing started to go pear-shaped. A bit like a roller coaster ride. It's the only way I can describe it. I was very arrogant and proud. I'd made partner at the age of 30, very unusual. Lots of calls to be arrogant, lots of calls for pride. I still suffer from those. And as St. Augustine said, pride is the mother of all sin. I'm constantly fighting against that. Anyway, in a period of about 3 years, the first person that was close to me that died was my father. Graham and I had our two beautiful daughters, all four of my grandparents died. So you can imagine this sort of stuff. And when that sort of stuff happens to you, I don't know about you, but I built up this wall to protect myself. And then the Alpha Course came along. So the vicar at the time, David Pearson, many of you remember him. I built up this wall against David Pearson. Come on the Alpha Course, he said. I was holding David at arm's length, forgetting that, you know, it was Jesus who snuck round the wall and got me at the Alpha Course. And I remember vividly standing there with Anne and Dick Starling and giving my life to Christ. And I did the Alpha Course 5 times because sometimes, you know, it takes a bit of time to get through to the old grey matter. And sometimes people's testimonies really just stay there, don't they, when they first came to Christ. But actually, our whole lives are our testimony towards God. We don't need to share just that initial turning to Christ. We need to share how Christ is changing us, how Christ is chipping away at those masks and that dirt and that stuff that we need to lose as we grow more to be in him. And if you read the passage from Ephesians, just count how many times we are called to be in Christ, in the beloved, in him. That is where we are meant to be. So, daughters went to Sunday school. And rather than trip off home, I used to go into church because, you know, it just saved a bit of time. Yeah. And I gradually understood that that's the only time during the week that I had any peace. Then the Alpha Course. Then I had a few years in just nice, going to church and feeling peaceful. Then along came this chap called Keith Rogers. And he just gave me this leaflet. I remember him vividly. He just sort of gave it to me gently across the back of the reception area at St. Peter's in Yaxham. And he said, it says on it, "So you want to be a reader?" 2 milliseconds later, it was back to Keith saying, "No." Ah, God had other ideas. And the thing is that we can do amazing things for God. And if we do amazing things for God, however small they may be, we can expect God to do amazing things for us. Now, I'm not going to go any more about my testimony because A, I'd forget someone, and B, there are so many people. I just want to pick one person out there. Her name was Margaret. And when the children came along, I was, you know, important. I had to go back to work. I needed to have that, you know, my pride and my arrogance. And Margaret came along into my home and looked after my daughters, and she had something I didn't have. She was a Christian. God brought her to me. Thank you, God. And we all have those people. We all have those people that influence us, that are sent by God to influence us and to lead us to him. And maybe, I don't know if you have reflected on your testimony, maybe you need to do that. Maybe you just need to acknowledge that God sends these people to us, these individuals. Two things. The last few weeks, we've been looking at individuals and the way they affect our faith and the way they reacted. We looked at John the Baptist. We looked at Mary. We looked at Joseph. If I were on gallery view, I would now be looking at a lot of people who had encouraged me in my faith. You know who you are. Maybe you don't know who you are, but everybody that encourages you, everybody that says thank you, everybody that says you really need to do that, everybody that says don't you think God is going to do this for you, we need to get into this wonderful habit of sharing with people and to step out in faith. You know, if you do something and you think God is saying it to you to do, and it doesn't work in human terms, I firmly believe that if you do something, God will honour that. And God has a plan for our lives. And I'm going to quote you again, Jeremiah. For I have plans for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you future and a hope. Now, at this stage in my life, I'm looking towards retirement. Yay! Not quite sure how that's going to go. Not quite sure when. I'm starting to plan, and I know God has a plan for me. I did actually wonder if something was coming to fruition this week. I was hacked on my Facebook account, and it said on my Facebook account, I had a new job in the Church of England. I thought, well, really? And that was what a lot of people were saying. Really? Question mark. And I thought, there's a job going in King's Lynn. I'm not qualified for it. I don't look good in purple. I'm the right sex to have some positive discrimination in it. And I can wear a hat. And I started laughing hysterically, manically, when I got what God's word to me, nothing is impossible with God. We'll see. I'll see if the letter arrives on my mat on Monday. I don't hold out much hope. So we have our testimonies. We have our lives, the way we live them, which are witnesses to God. Because you go after the section in the John's Gospel reading, Christ came into the world to share that love, to share it with his people. And not everybody recognises that. That's why we need to share that love. That's why we need to share and go out and do little and amazing things and big and amazing things for Christ. share that love that God bestowed on us and which we are beneficiaries of. Love, that recentering of our lives on Jesus. We don't recenter our lives on the Church of England. We don't recenter our lives on the churches where we choose to worship. We don't recenter our lives on how we wish to worship. We don't recenter on the version of the Bible that we choose to read. We don't center on that. We center on Christ, on Jesus, and share that love. That Jesus that brings us the love, the peace, the joy, and the hope. Over Christmas, mother-in-law suggested that we drove past her church. It's a modern church, it's set back from the road, and there's some panes of clear glass. And she said, look at the display in there. And it was a wonderful display. And it had the words peace, love, and hope. What a message. And I said to her, what about joy? And she said, we don't have room for that. And I thought, oh my word, a bit of a story there maybe. I think they do have joy in their church. If you don't have joy in your church, if you don't have joy in your hearts, do you have Christ? Are you in Christ? That light, that incredible light that comes down, that breaches all of the darkness, that takes over the darkness. I want to try and draw you a word picture. You might like to close your eyes. I don't know if it helps, but it seems to me that sometimes we look at the cross and the cross ends at the timber work. But I just wonder if it's more helpful to take Christ and God off the cross and look at that cross and see the light coming from heaven, that incredible light coming down the upright of the cross, that incredible light that lights above us, lights through us, lights down through that upright of the cross. Looking at it now, you can scarcely open your eyes. And that light of God's love coming down. And then the light going across the horizontal bar of that cross. That light that goes out to be shared. So the cross does not end on the timber work. It takes that light comes down, that Holy Spirit, that power that comes down and is shared. And that's what Christ did for us on the cross. He took that love of God to share with it, to share with us, to share it with us. And that's what we need to do, is to look at the cross and not confine ourselves to looking at the cross in that way, but to look at the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected light that comes down, the power of the Holy Spirit goes out to be shared by everyone. God is love. He's shared that with us. We so need to share it with the world. So need to share it. Amen. Now we're going to declare our faith together, and we're going to do it in a slightly different way. It's a song called We Believe. You might not know the song. You will know the words in some format. And if you don't want to hear the song, just turn the sound down on your computer. and say the words. As we sing together, we believe. And I'm now going to hand over to Libby. She leads us in prayer.
Let us pray. Holy Child of Bethlehem, whose parents found no room in the inn, we pray for all who are homeless today. And we pray for all those who help and look for those who are living on the streets. All those organisations who seek to bring people into homes and into shelter. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Child of Bethlehem, born in a stable, we pray for all who are living in poverty. Father, during this year, we have heard of people who usually give to food banks becoming those who need to rely or have to rely on food banks to feed their families. Lord, give us a heart to help those in need. And for all those who are striving to help those in need, we ask for your blessing upon their work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Child of Bethlehem, rejected stranger, we pray for all those who are lost, alone, all who cry for loved ones. And Lord, we give to you those now who are on our hearts and on our minds. Those who we have loved and lost. Those who are sick and need your healing. And we pause just for a moment to add our prayers for those whom we know need God's healing at this moment. Lord Jesus, all those who have we thought of, we ask for your comfort, for your healing, and your precious, precious presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Child of Bethlehem, who Herod sought to kill, we pray for all in danger, all who are persecuted. Lord, there are so many people around the world who are worshipping you, possibly right at this moment, and in doing so are putting themselves in grave danger. Lord, we may not know them personally, but they are our brothers and sisters, and we pray for them, for your protection. And we ask, Lord, for your angels to stay by them and for your presence to give them courage and for your protection, Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Child of Bethlehem, a refugee in Egypt, we pray for all who are far from home. Lord, we pray for those who may be travelling to get home, who may be far from home because of the lockdowns the world is putting in place at the moment, who may feel alone, they may feel isolated. And we ask, Lord, somehow you will get them home. And if home is a place of danger, we ask you to provide them a safe passage and a safe place to stay. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Child of Bethlehem, in you the Eternal was pleased to dwell. Help us, we pray, to see the divine image in people everywhere. In your name, we offer this prayer. We thank you, Father, Lord of all time, for the gifts of food, warmth, and company, for your love and the protection of our homes, and in all this year that and in all that this year may hold for friendship of Jesus Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And shall we now say together the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Libby and Paul. We're now going to sing again. God is love.
The final hymn is God is Love by the Welsh composer William Rowlands.
Thank you.
couldn't see the words very well on that, so I made my own up. I'm sure it was fine. Now we're going to do something that's not on the order of service. We're going to have an act of sharing. And Mark has highlighted Libby and Paul because they're going to say the grace. We can all say the grace to each other. When I was in training, well, I've forgotten most things anyway, but the one thing that really stuck with me, that when we say the grace, we really share those three gifts, the grace, the love, and fellowship. And what this act of sharing is actually giving to each other those three gifts, reminiscent of the tradition of the three gifts that the Magi gave to Christ. Different gifts, but still gifts. So we're going to say this to each other. We're going to hear the words from Libby and Paul. Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you. Enjoy those gifts and the gifts from God. And we come to our closing prayer. As we pray, we're still here, God. Another year come and gone. Some parts are clear and memorable, others parts blurry, having rushed by too fast. Some things happened that didn't make sense, but we trusted that even amidst our questions, you are still on the throne and all power belongs to you. This year has found us, or this last year has found us experiencing hurt as well as loss, life in lockdown with all its peculiarities, pain and restrictions. We've cried out to our God of hope and you have heard our cry. Thank you for a saviour who can join with us, declaring that all lives matter. But the least are the most important, and who lives to show us the way through. Thank you for every smile and look of reassurance, for every encouragement and every surprise of your blessing. Hear our prayer now for the year ahead. Holy Spirit, help us believe in rainbows and sunshine after the bleakest storms. Help us believe against all odds in love and to look forward in faith. This time next year, we want to be telling you about another trip around the sun and how it has been glorious.
Amen.
And the blessing is actually the Ephesians reading today from the Message Bible, because it's all about God's love. It's all about the blessings and it's all about being in Christ. And it's also about the glory of God. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. He made us to be holy and whole by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it out before us in Christ, a long-term plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on our planet Earth. It is in Christ we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It is in Christ, as all. Once we heard the truth and believed it, found ourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. The signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. As we await our coming Saviour, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
Now we have our time, if you're able, to join us in the breakout groups for coffee and leftover mince pies, because tomorrow we diet.